World. I'm John Batchelor, Behind the Black, kept by Bob Zimmerman, my colleague, and we're going immediately to a success. This is about commercial space success, but in this instance, it's the success of manned spaceflight return to Earth. Bob, a very good evening to you. Splashdown in the Gulf of Mexico. Who?
Yeah, you know, John, you ask who. This is just, to my mind, the most amazing part of this story is that it's gotten very little coverage anywhere. A private mission flown by SpaceX to bring four astronauts to ISS 6 months ago. They were an American, a Russian, a Japanese, and a European astronaut. Bring them to ISS. 6 months later, the Endurance capsule, they get on board, and it brings them back to the Gulf of Mexico, where they were covered safely. And it gets almost no news coverage, you know. And a private company is doing this. It's not the government doing this. They bought the tickets, those four governments, on this SpaceX launch. But no one really pays any attention anymore. So yes, they splashed down after a six-month mission, were recovered safely, and SpaceX logs another successful mission, manned mission. Very soon, SpaceX is going to actually have launched more astronauts than NASA ever did. It's not going to take much more. It's going to take probably another few more years. But they're moving very quickly to having done more flights and more. You put more humans in space than anybody else. It's quite amazing.
The European Space Agency, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, NASA, and Roscosmos are the four that participated in this. And because it's so routine, Bob, it's like an airplane taking off. That's what it feels like now. A flight from Kennedy doesn't get news either.
Yes, and that was Elon Musk's goal with SpaceX, with its reusable Falcon 9 and reusable capsules. It wanted to turn this into more like an airline. Something that rocket companies should have been trying to, and NASA should have been trying to do for the last 40 years and did not. And SpaceX, private enterprise, has now proven that it can be done.
Phantom. What is Phantom?
Phantom is a new rocket startup, and CEO is a guy by the name of Jim Cantrell. You might remember that name. He had been the CEO of Vector. Vector went bankrupt. It had lost its main investor. It also had a problem. The reason the investor left is because they tried to build their own engines, and the engine was underpowered. And so Cantrell moved on. He formed a new company, Phantom Space, and he's in the process of trying to raise more money. He just completed another investment capital funding round, and they've now brought their total capital investment to $37 million. He's doing things a little different this time. He's not building the engines himself. He's purchasing the engines from another company called Ursa Major, which has been building engines for a lot of other people. Actually, the guy running that comes from SpaceX originally, so they know what they're doing. And so rather than try to build an engine himself for his rocket, he's getting others to do it. So they completed another funding round. They hope to lift off from Vandenberg with their new Daytona rocket next year. We'll see. Delays like this always happen. But, you know, it's another company entering the space business, John.
My memory, Bob, is Minisats. Was that their payload?
Yes. The original Vector rocket was going to do small sats, and the Phantom rocket will be the same thing. It'll be a small sat rocket. It's working in the area of competition with Rocket Lab and its Electron rocket.
And we go to Rocket Lab, a successful launch.
Yes. This is what's interesting about this is Rocket Lab completed its third launch this week, put up the fourth radar satellite in a constellation put together by a private company called Synspective. What's interesting is Rocket Lab has been the exclusive launch provider for Synspective, and this was their fourth radar satellite put up in this constellation. It's to provide radar imagery of the ground. If clouds are in the way, optical imagery can't see the ground, but radar can. So for military and commercial businesses, this is a product of some value. But Rocket Lab launched. It was its third launch this year. This puts it up among the leaders. It's matching Russia in the number of launches this year. And Rocket Lab says it's aiming for 20 launches this year, which would put it in the league with SpaceX as a major player. And they have a launch coming up in just a few more days, so they're really pushing for that pace, John, and it's quite amazing. I should point out that SpaceX by itself right now leads the rest of the world combined, including American companies, in number of successful launches this year. So SpaceX continues to wipe everybody else out. But Rocket Lab looks like it's finally about to move into the big leagues in its launch capabilities.
And we move from Rocket Lab to another old friend that I haven't seen recently, Stratolaunch. Remind us, Bob.
Yes, Stratolaunch was a company formed by Paul Allen, one of the co-founders of Microsoft. The idea was they salvaged parts from two 747s to make a giant plane, the biggest ever flown, called Rock. The idea was originally they were going to put a rocket at the base of Rock and put it into orbit and use it to launch satellites. That didn't work. They couldn't get anybody to go along with it. Then Paul Allen died. The new people running the company decided to reshape the company entirely and instead use Rock as a test bed for launching the company's own hypersonic test vehicles called Talon. These test vehicles would be used to do actual hypersonic flight tests. They've got an Air Force contract to do that, and they've been doing test flights of Rock with Talon A, their first test vehicle, attached to the bottom. They've done capture carry tests and takeoffs and landings. Well, this past weekend, they completed their first flight of Talon A. The Rock took off with Talon A attached to the bottom, and when it was in the air, they released it, and it then did its first test flight, and successfully they were able to test its engine ignition, its acceleration, its sustained climb to altitude, and then a controlled water landing. They don't give a lot of specifics because, once again, they have an Air Force contract, and this is for military purposes. But this is now a test bed for doing hypersonic test flights. It's interesting that Stratolaunch is in direct competition with Rocket Lab because Rocket Lab last year innovated its Electron rocket into a hypersonic test bed as well. They took away the upper stage, and they just used the first stage to launch payloads to test hypersonic missile technology. And they've already done two tests of flights of that. So these two companies are competing for this business, and they'll do it, but Stratolaunch has now got to move faster to catch up because it's taking a long time to do these test flights, John.
It occurs to me, Bob, before we move on to Starliner, that there are so many new companies, and I remember what I can, but you're the expert here. There's so many new companies. Is there, to your knowledge, an employment center, one place that gathers together jobs that are special for launch systems or satellite buildings? Because there's so many opportunities.
I don't know of any single place. I actually would probably not be thrilled by such a thing because I really believe competition is a better way to do things. I don't want really one source because then you tend to games get started to be played and some will get favored over others. I'd rather it was all independent. Nope. If someone wants to get a job in the new rocket industry, my best advice is to read my website regularly to find out all the different companies that exist and where there might be jobs available. If you're an engineer, a young engineer who wants to get into the rocket business and you don't know where to go, you read my webpage every day and you're going to see every possibility. And that's my best advice. So if there is a one source, John, it's Behind the Black.
Well answered. So we go on to Starliner, the troubled Starliner, but this is commercial space. Remind the troubles of Starliner.
Yes, this is a Boeing manned capsule. It's supposed to be competing with SpaceX's fleet of four manned capsules. Well, SpaceX has been flying that fleet now for 4 years. It's been getting contracts from NASA. Boeing hasn't been able to make a single dime from Starliner yet because it's had numerous problems. They had to do two different unmanned demo launches. They're trying to do their first manned demo launch. This was delayed a year for many problems. It was scheduled for April of this year, next month. There's no problems now. This is not a problem, but it's been slipped to early May. And the reason there's a slight delay has nothing to do with problems. It has to do with scheduling, docking, and rendezvous with ISS. There's only so many ports on ISS, and we just had a splashdown of a capsule. their progress rate is going up. There's a manned mission going again that just went. So they've got a schedule based upon what's available and the schedule. And so they flipped the launch to Starliner, the first manned launch to May. It's going to carry two astronauts. It's going to last for 2 weeks if everything goes right. It's basically the final checkout of Starliner. After this, then Boeing can start selling tickets. NASA will buy tickets. It wants to have two different ways to get to ISS. Whether anyone else will is questionable because, you know, a company's got to demonstrate reliability. And as we all know, Boeing has shown a lot of weakness when it comes to reliability in recent years with its airplanes. And the problems that Starliner has had has only underlined those problems. So they have quality control problems that they have to fix. They need to fly this thing with NASA for several years safely before I think others are going to be willing to buy tickets on it.
I mentioned, because we're back at ISS, we started with a splashdown from ISS, that the Zvezda module, now that crack is bigger and that they've not been able to solve it whatsoever. I did this report with Anatoly Zak last week, who keeps a Russian space wing.
Yeah.
And the crack is so bothersome to them that they sealed up the module so that no one's using it. And there is no solution, as I understand, Bob, because that module also contains the engines that keep the ISS in orbit from deteriorating. So that
they have several things I want to add to that, though. One, they do use that module for docking still, which is, I think, a mistake. They should be using other modules. And what they do is when they dock, they open the module up to take things in and out, and then they close it again. But the docking is, I think, stress on that module, which is causing the stress fractures, and they really shouldn't do it. They should really find a different solution. That's one I want to add. And the second thing is, what was the second thing? My brain has suddenly gone blank.
Maintaining orbit.
Yes, other engines. They are testing other crew and cargo vehicles for doing this, the engine firings. Both Northrop Grumman's Cygnus capsule, they've done test firings to see if it can do the job, as well as others. There's also the possibility of what they do is it's not so much the engines on Zvezda that does the lifting generally. Usually what happens is a progress freighter docks and it does the job. They should just be docking at a different port. It might be that it has to be that port for geometric reasons, the orientation of ISS. That is something they need to work on because this is a serious problem that could end ISS prematurely.
Tenacity, success for vibration testing. Why? What are they testing for, Bob?
Tenacity is the first Dream Chaser reusable mini shuttle that Sierra Space has built. And it's getting close to launch. They're doing vibration testing, and that's been successfully completed. This is not really a new story. I reported this about a month ago, but Sierra Space has now confirmed that that testing was completely successful. But they need to do environmental testing where they put it into a vacuum chamber and see if the spacecraft can function properly in the vacuum of space with the various temperature swings. They haven't done that environmental testing yet. They were hoping to launch this reusable mini shuttle to ISS with cargo in April. I personally think April ain't going to happen right now. It's probably going to be delayed a month or so while they do this. And that's, once again, not a problem. It's getting close to launch. It's also like Boeing's Starliner, 4 years behind schedule. The difference here is there hasn't been any indications of any problems for those delays. It seems more likely managers at the company did not allow the work to go as fast as it should have, and that's changed now, which is good.
All right, quickly, Stokes Space is building the Nova rocket. What's the rocket for?
What the key here is that Stokes Space is using a radical design, a ring of nozzles on its upper stage rather than a single central nozzle, and that's changed. They hope to make that upper stage completely reusable. They'll be able to bring it back to Earth and then refly it, which would make the Nova rocket the first completely reusable rocket, or at least the second if Starship Super Heavy flies successfully. But nonetheless, they're trying to compete with everybody else as a rocket startup, and I linked to an update on their technology and where they stand on Behind the Black, and I think it's a worth read for people to look at.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.